Genesis chapter 22, we'll read verses 1 to 19 again. Last week we made it through verses 1 to 3, so you're probably wondering, how are we ever going to make it through to verse 19 this morning? But have no fear, we won't. So starting at verse 1. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, here I am. He said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering and rose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come back to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went, both of them together. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. He said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. So they went, both of them together. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand, took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. He said, do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you. And I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven, as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned to his young men, and they arose and went together to Beersheba. And Abraham lived at Beersheba. So far, the reading of God's Holy Word. So last week we really did basically an introduction to this passage. And if any of you listen to Phil Johnson preach, his introductions are about half of the time of his sermon. But that introduction wasn't like his, because his kind of sometimes rambled on a bit. I think our introduction actually dealt with what's in the text. But really, it was a big introduction to this passage. We talked about, we did a review right back from creation and to the fall and where death came because of sin, spiritual death immediately, and physical death because of God's grace eventually. And because of sin. And we talked about that little phrase, those two little words, but God, which is the theme really of our lives. Really, it's the theme of the Word of God. But God, being rich in mercy, abounding in steadfast love, revealed his plan to send the seed of the woman, singular, to crush Satan and destroy death for his people, Genesis 3:15. And part of the "but God," we said, was when God called Abraham in Genesis 12 and chose him to be a great nation and that he would bless all nations through him. And so with that in mind, today I'm going to tell you to don't think about that blessing as a physical blessing for a people, for a nation, for a land in one place, but think of what God said, that he's going to bless them to bless all nations of the world. So let's remember to keep that in our minds as we're going through this passage. God's promise to Abraham to bless all nations, all peoples of the earth. And so that was part of the "but God" we talked about. And so God had promised that through Abraham, a Savior would come, and through that Savior, Satan would be crushed. Death would be taken care of. We talked about the fact that there was a problem. He didn't have any offspring. But God, again, did bless them. Even though in the meantime, they tried to solve it on their own, and Ishmael was born because they were trying to do God's work for him. And we talked about the fact that Ishmael was and Hagar were sent away, and Isaac was that son of promise. And so when God tells him to take his son, his only son, he's talking about Isaac, the son of promise. We talked about the fact that God is testing Abraham, not testing him to sin, but a testing of his faith. And we remember from James that we're not tempted by God to sin, but we're tempted to sin by our own evil desires. So God is testing Abraham, and his faith, it is his faith that is being put to the test. And we reminded ourselves of 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7 that tell us to rejoice. Even though now for a while we go through various trials, we're to rejoice because that testing that God puts us through tests the genuineness of our faith, which is more precious than gold that will perish. And it says, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So this is the testing that Abraham is going through. It's not a unique thing in the sense that our faith is tested. It's a unique kind of testing. Nowhere again do we have this kind of testing seen, but our faith being tested is not unique to Abraham. So God called Abraham in verse 1. In verse 2, he lays out the test that he gives to Abraham. He's to take his son, his only son, Isaac, and the son of promise, like we said, whom he loves, and he's to go to the land of Moriah and offer him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains. And just to remind ourselves of verse 3, there's no argument, no hesitation recorded. He wakes up early and does exactly what God says. God calls and Abraham obeys. He doesn't just say yes to God like we often do. He says yes and does what God says. So early in the morning, Abraham gets up and obeys. And I believe that's where we left off last week. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes, verse 4, and saw the place afar off. What a long 3 days that must have been. I wonder what that conversation would have been like during that journey, those 3 days. For myself, I don't think I would have said a whole lot if I would have been Abraham. But for the rest, the servants, and for Isaac, it wasn't anything super unusual. They were going on a three-day journey to worship God. It doesn't seem to them that this would have been anything super unusual. But we can actually only imagine what the conversation, because God has not given that to us. And so 3 days later, Abraham sees the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young man, "Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you." Verse 5. God had called Abraham to do something very specific. Take Isaac and go and offer him as a burnt offering. There was no place in this plan for interference. I'm just kind of thinking through. It doesn't tell us that's why Abraham told his servants to stay behind, but there is no place for interference. God has told him to do this thing, and that is what he's going to do. And so the servants are asked to stay behind. But it's interesting what Abraham says to them, that they are going to go and worship and return to them, knowing all along what God has asked him to do. Now, we can say, I believe, that this was a private time of worship for Abraham and Isaac. They were going to go worship and return. And you might not agree with me, but I think we can think about our time this morning as we think about what Abraham and Isaac are going to do. They are going to worship their God and return. And so when we think of our time this morning, we call this our worship service. And it's not your worship service this morning if you are not born again. If this is not the God that you worship, then this is not your worship service. And so, but we as believers, we call this our worship service. We come together Sunday morning, week after week, not to be saved again, not to be born again, but to worship our God who has saved us, who has brought us from death to life. And so we come together and we worship our God as we meet together. And as we say Sunday after Sunday, we want to worship him as we sing, as we read God's word, as we give, and as we hear the word of God preached. And so this is our worship service, as that time for Abraham and Isaac was their time of worship. Now, if you are an unbeliever here this morning, you are welcome here with us. And we do welcome you here for sure. But that is why every Sunday we seek to preach the gospel, so that you too can hear the good news of the work of Christ on behalf of sinners. Turn in faith to God through Christ, and then you can join us in this worship service. And so in this way, I think we can look at this time of worship of Abraham and Isaac, and we can say to ourselves, as they went to worship, we come to worship. But God had told Abraham that Isaac was to be sacrificed. So how was he going to go and worship and return after he had worshiped God? Abraham has faith in God. God has promised that it is through Isaac that the promise will be. So it will be through Isaac. God will keep his promise, just as he said. Now, I'm not making that up, because Hebrews chapter 11, verses 17 to 19, if you want to turn there, Hebrews chapter 11, verses 17 to 19. And it says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his son, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. He considered that God was able to even raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. And so here we have God giving to us what actually was going through the mind of Abraham during that time, that he believed God that he would keep his promise. So you know, sometimes I wonder, okay, where's the resurrection from the dead in the Old Testament? Well, here we have it. Abraham believed in the resurrection. He believed in the resurrection of the dead. And he believed that it was God who would be the one to raise people from the dead. And so Abraham trusted God. Even though God said, go, sacrifice Isaac, he knew that God was able to raise him from the dead. And so he could say to his servants, Isaac and I will go, we will worship, and we will return to you. And Abram took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went both of them together. Verse 6. The load of wood was put on Isaac, and Abraham carried the knife and the fire. Isaac was carrying the wood that he was to be burnt on. That must have been hard for Abraham to do, to put that bundle of wood on the back of Abraham, knowing what God had commanded him to do. And yet, he let his son bear that load. Isaac, the son of promise, carrying the wood that he would be sacrificed on. Let's think about that for a moment. I think many of you, your minds are already going to Christ, who also carried the wood of his sacrifice. The cursed tree. Galatians chapter 3:13 says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. And just as Isaac carries that wood for the offering, Christ carried his cross, the cross on which he would suffer for the sins of his people. So we have that, I think, a very, very clear pointing to Christ, a very, very clear illustration of what is to come in Christ, Isaac carrying that wood up the mountain to the place of sacrifice so that he could be a burnt offering to the Lord, a pleasing aroma to the Lord. So in Isaac, all the nations are to be blessed. Isaac, the son of promise, also points us to Christ as the only son, as John talks about. Jesus is the ultimate son of promise that all of creation has been waiting for since the sin of Adam and Eve. And God promised a redeemer. So Jesus is the one through whom all the nations are to be blessed. And so this picture that we have here of Isaac carrying the wood, and Christ carrying the wood, Isaac being the son of promise, and Christ the ultimate son of promise, a clear pointing us to Christ. Finally, we might say, now we have in verse 7 some of the conversation that was taking place between Isaac and Abraham. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, "My father." And he said, "Here I am, my son. Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Fire and wood are there, but where is the lamb? It's, to me, very clear that Isaac was very familiar with sacrifice. He knew exactly what was needed. It appears that he knew the truth that we have in Hebrews chapter 9:22, where it says, "Indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood. But without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins." So Isaac knew what was required, what was needed to worship God. They couldn't just go and do whatever they wanted. God is a holy God. He has specific requirements for worship. Right from the time of Adam and Eve, when they sinned, sacrifice had been made on behalf of the people. We can think of God killed the animals for their covering, and then Abel's sacrifice, which was a pleasing sacrifice to God. We can think of Noah when he exited the ark, the sacrifice that was made. The sacrifice of repentance and worship of God are normal things for Isaac. And so his question is a very, very normal question to be asked. Where is the lamb for a burnt offering? They are going to worship the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac, but they have no lamb to sacrifice to God in worship. Abraham's answer in verse 8, Abraham said, "God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." So they went both of them together. Now, if you were to choose a central verse of this passage, that I say there it is, verse 8. Actually, if you were to choose a central passage of Scripture, I would propose we could say there it is. God will provide for himself a lamb. Abraham trusted God. He believed the promises of God. Abraham had tried before to help God out, as we looked at last week, the different testings that he went through without success. But God always did as he said he would. And so he says, God will provide for himself. But is not everything we have from the hand of God? Has God not provided the air we breathe, the food we eat, life itself? Had not God made every lamb that they had sacrificed to God before this time? Every lamb that was sacrificed from Adam and Eve till this time, it was provided by God, for God, and given back to God. Yes, everything comes from the hand of God. So God has provided every lamb that was sacrificed before, and Abraham trusts that God will provide for himself the lamb that is needed for this burnt offering as well. Oh, what pointing to Christ. As John says in 129, John 129, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Abraham trusts God. Isaac trusts his father. And so they both went on together. Verse 9 is a matter, as the verse giving us a matter of fact what took place. And when they came to the place of which God had told them, Abraham built the altar there. And as we have instruction, can read the instructions of how altars were to be built, natural stones piled up together. And so Abraham would have piled the stones needed to build an altar there. He laid the wood in order. To me, that very speaks directly to just very methodical, doing it right, doing it as God requires, laying the wood in order, not just throwing it on a heap in rebellion, but doing things the way God had called him to do. And bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Just a very matter-of-fact description. Remember, we reminded ourselves last week, this is a book of history, God giving us what took place in a time with real people. And so we have just the verse of what took place. They came to the place that God had told them, and Abraham does exactly what God had commanded. And he bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. So they had traveled 3 days, and to get to this place to worship, and he had 3 days to think about what God had asked him to do, and he reached this place, Mount Moriah, which also reminds us of Psalm 24, verse 3, which says, "Who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place?" So this is the holy hill of the Lord, where Abraham is. And Mount Moriah is actually the place where Jerusalem is later built. So if we remember our review to where we are, we're actually not very long after the flood. So the cities of the earth aren't plentiful yet like they were later on. And so the place where God tells them to go is the place where Jerusalem would later be built. And this is the place where God directs Abraham to sacrifice his only son, the son of promise. And he prepares the altar, as we said, stone by stone. He builds an altar for his son, his only son. And this is a son who is to be the great nation, that all the nations of the earth will be blessed for the glory of God. And this son, Isaac, is bound, laid on the wood, on top of the altar. And again, verse 10, we have Abraham simply trusting God and obeying what he said. Then Abraham reached out his hand, took the knife to slaughter his son. Again, Abraham simply trusts God and obeys. God is good. God is faithful. God keeps his promise. Abraham takes the knife to do what God has called him to do. But how is this possible? How could God ask Abraham to do this? We say to ourselves, what is going on? If we didn't know the rest of the story, if we'd only read to hear, what is going on? What is God doing? It's the pagans, as we said last week, the godless idol worshipers that do this. How can God ask Abraham to do this? But Abraham trusts God and obeys. These two things always go together, that Abraham trusts God and he obeys him. And at this point is where we have but God again. Verse 11. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. That here I am phrase comes up over and over again in this passage, doesn't it? Abraham's response, Here I am. So the angel of the Lord called to him. And the angel of the Lord is also described at times as the physical representation of God. So God calls to Abraham as he is about to slay his son. Remember that Abraham had assured Isaac that God would provide for himself the burnt offering. And here God intervenes and calls out to Abraham. And his response again, Here I am. He says, Do not lay your hand, verse 12, on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. So God stops the hand of Abraham. He is not to slay Isaac. The sacrifice of children is not what God blesses. God is not like the false gods of the other nations who people try to appease with their evil killing of children, like we talked about last week. The descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob should have remembered this in the years to come, when they were led astray by the godless nations of the promised land. Remember that God is testing Abraham from verse 1. This is a test of Abraham's faith. Does he fear God? Abraham knew God was able to raise Isaac from the dead and give him back to him, so he obeys. And Abraham is not to do anything to his son. And as we said last week, God knew Abraham's faith. God never learns anything, but this was a test showing in action the faith that Abraham had in the promises of God. Abraham did not withhold his son, his only son, the son of God's promise, who was given to him by God. And we remember the words again of Abraham that God would provide. In verses 13 and 14 we read, And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his thorns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, The Lord Will Provide. As it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. God will provide for himself a lamb, as Abraham said in verse 8. And God provided the lamb for a sacrifice. What a time of worship that must have been. Abraham and Isaac worshiping God together. We can only imagine the joy that they would have felt as they, I can only imagine them kneeling before that altar in praise of God who provided this lamb for them to sacrifice in worship of the one true God. And Abraham named that place, on the mountain of the Lord, it shall be provided. Yahweh Yireh, or as we often say, Jehovah Jireh, our God provides. God required the sacrifice and God provided. But when we think about what was taking place here, both Abraham and Isaac were sinners. They both needed a sacrifice to be made for sin. They needed a sacrifice to be made on their behalf. Isaac could not die for Abraham because he had his own sins that he was accountable for. Abraham could not die for Isaac. He had his own sins that he was accountable for. But Abraham was confident that God would provide for himself a lamb for the sacrifice. Abraham was confident that God was able to raise Isaac from the dead. Abraham was confident that God would provide a lamb for the burnt offering, which would be a sweet aroma to the Lord. Friends, do you see that God was at work in Abraham and Isaac, already preparing the way for Christ? Jesus, the Messiah, the one John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Abraham was told to sacrifice his son, his only son of promise. And Jesus is the only son given by the Father, as we read in John 3, to pay the penalty for sin for all who repent of their sin and trust in Christ, the Lamb of God. Isaac carried the wood for the sacrifice up the mountain of the Lord, as Jesus carried his cross on this same mountain. Only this time, the Father didn't stop the sacrifice. Isaac was a picture of Jesus to come. Jesus, who came to give his life a ransom for many. Matthew 20, verse 26 to 28 says, "It shall not be so among you, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be your slave, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Abraham believed in the resurrection of the dead. He believed that God was able to bring Isaac back to life and to keep his promise to bless all nations through Isaac. And is that not what God did? Abraham and Isaac journeyed 3 days. At the end of the journey, instead of Isaac being killed, he was alive, given back to Abraham, the son of promise through whom all nations are blessed. So Christ was raised from the dead on the third day. So we who are in Christ have the hope of the resurrection. Can you rejoice as Abraham and Isaac did when the Lord provided a lamb for a sacrifice on their behalf? Can you announce with John the Baptist, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world"? O Christian, let us rejoice together that our sins are forgiven, that God has provided a lamb, the Lamb of God. What a time of worship Abraham and Isaac would have had. Let us worship together that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Our sin debt has been removed by Christ, and we look forward to the resurrection to be with Christ, whose blood has been shed on our behalf. All the hardships of this life will be gone, and we know that those hardships are for the refining of our faith for the glory of God. All those hardships will be gone. Together we will be with our Savior, our God, who has provided a lamb. Romans chapter 4, starting at verse 20, says, Romans chapter 4, starting at verse 20, No unbelief, talking about Abraham, made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he promised. That is why his faith was counted to him as righteousness. But the words it was counted to him were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be counted to us who believe in him who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our transgressions and raised for our justification. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our suffering, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. O Christian, let us rejoice together in Christ, who is the promised Lamb of God, who bore the wrath of God on our behalf and lives to give us hope in the resurrection. This morning, if you are one of those who are with us, who this isn't a worship service for you, you are not born again, your sin debt is still with you. You haven't not turned to from your sin. Turn from your sin today. Call out to Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Trust Christ today. He took the wrath of the Father on behalf of all who repent and believe in Jesus Christ, the God-man who bears the sins of his people. Do that today. Trust Christ today. Turn from your sin today. Jesus is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Through all of life's hardships and trouble, Christ has defeated death. Trust him today. Jesus says, come. Amen.